Today is September 24th, 2009. And I'm sitting here with Vincent Algarisco, a freelance writer from Bullhead City, Arizona, a contributing writer for many websites, and a lifelong founding member of the Alliance of Atomic Veterans. I want to welcome you to this broadcast.
Thank you, Harry. It's really good to be on, and you're doing a lot of great work. I've been following your shows, and I really enjoy it.
Well, thank you very much, and you do very good work, very well-written writer. And I wanted to ask you, since you're a founding member of the Alliance of Atomic Veterans, if you could speak a little bit about that.
Yeah, Harry, I'd be happy to. Basically, this was the brainchild of my father and my mother. My father was in the Navy. He fought in World War II and in Korea. But the full effect of atomic weapons became his big picture in Operation Crossroads in 1946. And him, with a whole bunch of other vets, they were exposed to radiation over there in the Marshall Islands in Bikini. And what they did is they dropped two atomic bombs. Both were twice the size of the ones that were dropped on Hiroshima. One was above water detonation, which was codenamed Able, and then the second was Baker, which was an underground detonation. My father was on LST-388, which was approximately 8 miles away from the blast. And after his exposure at that test, he started having a lot of medical problems. And the VA, basically, they wouldn't treat these guys, because for them to treat them in the VA was like an admission that they had exposed them, something that they really denied. So it became a lifelong mission of our family to try to help all these veterans who had been exposed, and trying to get proper health care through the VA administration, and to get service-connected disability for them as well. And that's kind of a brief overview of what AAV is about. It later went international, which became the International Alliance of Atomic Veterans, and we had the Alliance of Atomic Veterans set up here in the U.S.
Excellent, excellent. How could somebody find more information about that?
Well, there's a lot of information out on the web. If you just go to like Google or any type of web search engine and just put in Atomic Veterans, I'm sure you'll get plenty of information about it. Yeah, look for Atomic Veterans is a good way to go. Or you can put in AAV, Alliance of Atomic Veterans, and I'm sure you'll get plenty of stuff popping up on that too.
Excellent, excellent. Now, I wanted to bring up this article from September 26, 2003, Body Bags Filled with G.I. Joe and Jane, No Homecoming Trumpets for the Fallen. This is a very excellent article that you wrote. And in the beginning, you quoted Howard Zinn, a historian and an author, who said, quote, "Americans have been taught that their nation is civilized and humane, but too often U.S. actions have been uncivilized and inhumane." And if anybody isn't familiar with Howard Zinn, he wrote an excellent book, The People's History of the United States. And in this article, you talk a lot about how the media is really blacking out coverage of exactly what's going on in the wars. And maybe you can elaborate on how hard it was to actually come out and take a stand on the war back in 2003.
Yeah, Harry. That didn't exactly make me the most popular guy at the time. You know, at that time, there was a real fever pitch for the war. And, you know, for me, it was a big step to come out and write this article. I took a lot of hits. I probably got about 150 letters on both sides of the aisle as far as supporting my stance for the war in Iraq, and many against. But to me, you know, the media truly is a state-sponsored mouthpiece. It really is, in my book. You know, this is all done by design, because the military-industrial complex does not want to put a human face on war. And in fact, everything they do is motivated against that information getting out to the public. You know, when you see a bunch of dead GIs coming back home in body bags, that's something that they don't want the media to grab a hold of and show the American public, because that's really not selling points for the war. You know, they want to keep everybody under an umbrella of niceties, you know. They don't want to see the blood and the guts and everything else that goes with war. And if anything, if I could do anything at all, I mentioned in the article that I would make all the politicians who voted in favor of going to war, most of which don't go to war themselves, nor do their families, you know, they should be required to unzip each one of those body bags and just take a little look inside. Because, you know, that tells a story right there. That's what war is. You know, guys go over, they get their bodies blown to bits. Or they're lucky enough to come home, they suffer the carnage for years to come, you know, through PTSD and other things. So it was very important for me on this piece. 2003 was pretty early in the war, and I was definitely opposed to it. And I'm glad that I came out the way I did with this piece. It was a good piece, and it was posted on many websites.
Excellent. You know, the fact in 2003, I remember that being against the war was very, very unpopular, because the country was riding on high against the attacks on 2001. And we were led to believe that there were mass weapons of mass destruction, and that there were countries that were behind 9/11 that were a threat to us. So it was a patriotic act to be for the war, and that's what the media spun as. Even when we found out that the war was not justified, and even that Congress didn't vote on the war, people were still in that patriotic mood after 2001 to support the war, and the media refused to put a face on the war. And that's exactly what you were talking about in this article when you wrote, "Notice anything missing in the news media since all this war business started? Where is all the media attention for the more than 300 fallen military servicemen that have been killed in Iraq and shipped back home? I ask again, has anyone heard the trumpets blaring or seen cameras clicking in patriotic fever as the body bags arrive and unload from the military cargo planes? While I'm on the subject, has anybody seen any televised funerals or heard any interviews and relatives of the deceased who are not happy campers? Hardly anything. Go figure." And in this article of 2003, you were talking about 300 fallen military, and even though we really don't have the real numbers, I believe that is admittedly over 3,000 now, and the media is still blacking it out.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what's really disheartening about this whole thing, is that the media blackout is still in effect. Nothing has changed on that, even with this new Obama administration. The mandate had started during the Bush administration, of course, but it just goes back to what we were saying, Harry. You know, guys get blown to bits, their minds are destroyed, and that's exactly what the military-industrial complex as a whole is trying to hide from the American public. They don't want to put a human face on this. You know, everything is all pleasant. You know, they show smart bombs zeroing in, they hit their targets. Although we don't even see much of that anymore. as far as the aspects of what's going on over there, targets being destroyed and so forth. In fact, we're lucky to even hear anything about it at all. And to me, that's a slap in the face of all Americans. You know, to me, it's like a two-way ticket, you know, when you sign up for the military, Harry. You know, you also give an oath to serve, but, you know, it is a two-way street because they're not supposed to send you into harm's way unless it is justified. And now, over the years, here we are, we find ourselves in 2009, and this is all still ongoing. And we have a lot more to go on about why this war is being fought today, and especially about many of the lies and deception which got us there. You know, you can go back to the Downing Street memos, and or you can look up the Project for a New American Century, PNAC, and what you've come to find is that all of this was blueprinted long before the war ever started. And that's what everybody really has to grasp, is you have to find out why we keep finding ourselves in war and why these things are started to begin with. And you're going to find out after you go down the rabbit hole of truth, you know, or if you want to compare it to like the Matrix and you take the red pill, you know, you're going to find out that there's really not much glory in it. It's usually about money. It's about oil. It's about empire. It's about defense contracts. And most of the politicians who vote in favor of such stuff, you know, their political coffers are being filled to the hilt. And that's why the cycle of war continues to this day. You know, you can go back to the Vietnam War and the Gulf of Tonkin and so forth, and there's a lot of suspicion that surrounds each one of these events that got us where we were in terms of war. And as a good American citizen, you know, we have to understand that everything that our government does, you know, it's done under our name. So it's our duty to know what our government is doing.
I agree, and you make a great point about putting people, our military and people in harm's way unjustified. And that's really a lot of what we're doing, because you mentioned the Project for a New American Century and Empire. And if you read their documents, Rebuilding America's Defenses, which came out well before the attacks of 9/11, which was the springboard into the War of Terror, you can see them lay out their plans for empire, and you can see everything that they said that they wanted to do to build an empire has come to pass. And this is exactly what their plan is. And when people start understanding exactly the motivation for these wars, they can find out that it's not justified, that it is about building permanent military bases in the Middle East and borrowing money for an empire that we cannot afford. And you said very well in an article that I found at the democraticunderground.com back in 2004, Lift the Media Blackout. And you wrote, a good question it is, who makes these decisions? Certainly not anyone with any shred of honor, but there it was in all undaunted glory in big screen, plasma screen, widescreen, media executives giving the thumbs up to show bloated bodies, decomposing bodies, floating bodies, and even bodies hanging in trees on television, dumped squarely into my living room. Strange, isn't it, that they still refuse to televise one single American funeral at home honoring the heroes who have died in the line of duty while bravely securing our country in a time of war. What the hell is wrong with this picture? And that is an excellent question. What is wrong with this picture? I mean, here we are being totally manipulated by the media, which is acting like what you were saying earlier as a PR outlet for the military-industrial complex.
Yeah, Harry. Yeah, in fact, if you look at that, you know, it's a perfect example that we have shown, actually, we have shown horrible things on TV, and that was just one example, but yet they won't even show the flag-draped caskets coming in off the plane in the dead of night at Dover Air Force Base. But that just goes back to what we were talking about earlier, and that is they don't want to put a human face on war, you know, because with that comes death, comes suffering, displacement, all the things that are associated with war. And what's even more disheartening is the fact that those who authorize such wanton destruction, they're not putting themselves at risk, nor are their families. You know, they're the ones who get, you know, to opt out of war. And, you know, if we go back to the project of New American Century, PNAC, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, when they talk about rebuilding Americans' defense strategy, you know, they even talk about, you know, the way to do that would be if another Pearl Harbor event were to occur here on our own soil. Now, this was all expressed and written and posted at their website well before 9/11. And, you know, if you go back and you look at some of the members, you know, of this think tank, you know, you're going to find people like John Bolton, Elliot Abrams, Dick Cheney, Paul Wolfowitz, Donald Rumsfeld, Max Boot, Richard Haass, Richard Pearl, Ruth Wedgwood, James Woosley, Douglas Feith, Michael Leiden, just all kinds of people. It's crazy. And if you go back and look, he's about named everybody in Bush's cabinet, you know. So, I mean, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to understand where all of this took us and why we're still there today. Basically, yes, we have a new administration. But if you notice, not much has changed as far as trying to end this war.
In fact, with the new administration, it seems like things are even more escalating, which goes to prove and show that the puppets that they have on the strings that they show us, they're not really in control of anything. Obama doesn't really have the power to stop anything because he's taking his orders from more powerful entities, the entities that created these wars. And when you were talking about the players at the Project for a New American Century, it sounded like a who's who of the Council on Foreign Relations, which David Rockefeller started with the purpose of undermining American security and expanding an empire and creating a one world government.
Yeah, Harry, actually, you're really on topic on that. The rabbit hole does go very deep, as you and I both know, and many others. It's just hard to get a national platform to get this information out to the public airwaves, and then, you know, we have to go back to the media again because they're the ones that keep a lid on this, that keep the hatch tightly down on that. And I tell you, we've really found ourselves in a place where I don't think anybody really wants to be, and it's really tough to figure out how to get out of this mess. You know, if it's one thing I found out with being active with the Alliance of Atomic Veterans and with the work that my father did, it's that most people know that something is wrong with the way everything is going, be it the economy, the wars, the whole Federal Reserve System, just everything, our health, you know, everything that's put into our food and so forth, but no one knows what to do about it. And that's what I'm really grateful for my father, is that he taught me that, you know, we can empower ourselves. There are things that we can do. But the one thing you have to remember is that, you know, when you get active as far as being an activist, you know, you have to pick an area that you're compassionate about. And it takes a lot of work. You know, you can't expect change to occur overnight. You know, it takes a lot of work and the victories are small. And that's just the way it works, Harry. I mean, we're not going to have like a revolutionary movement where everything's going to be just magically cured overnight. I mean, I would suggest to people that you try to inform others on whatever topic, you know, that really interests you. I mean, you can just pick a direction and, I mean, you know, we're being rabbit punched in every direction. So, I mean, just pick an area that really interests you and be passionate about it and try to do everything you can, you know, whether that's starting off on a low level like a city council member or whatever that may be. If you can get a national platform, I mean, I tip my hat to anybody. That's easier said than done these days, but that's how it starts. It has to start in our own communities and then work up from there. And I just want everybody to know that don't be overwhelmed by everything. You know, you have to stay strong and just fight for what's right. You know, freedom is not an easy thing to have. Look at the civil rights movement during the 60s. And, you know, I mean, we have to fight tooth and nail for everything. Well, the same goes for keeping that freedom. You know, you have to stay on it or you're going to lose it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Vigilance is the key. And I did want to say to the people listening that the articles that we're talking about that you wrote and can be found over at harrythomas.info. And also you can find me and Vincent over at 12160.org. And for anybody new to this kind of information, to being able to make a decision to try to do something, it's good to get involved with other people who are like-minded. Because everybody has something to contribute. They have their own talents. And like you were saying, pick a topic. Some people are exposing voting fraud, some the war, some are trying to find answers for 9/11, others are exposing the Federal Reserve, and the list goes on. Like you were talking about, the rabbit hole is deep, but we shouldn't be afraid of it. Because fear is how they're keeping us controlled. And the only way we can fight back is with positivity, trying to keep a positive view, and keeping hope. Because hope is really a big, big spiritual principle that comes into play.
That's true, Harry. Yep. And another thing, too, to remember is that, you know, as individuals, we may seem like we don't really have a lot of power, but as our numbers grow and we unite, you know, that is a powerful force, and that's what we must realize, you know, is that the work we do here today will help tomorrow. And so to never give up in hope, I know, because it's so easy to be overwhelmed by everything that's going on, and you know, just, you know, try to keep calm. You know, I mean, I'm not saying everyone should just, you know, start becoming a reactionist. But, you know, you have to realize that there really is some serious stuff going on. And, you know, the best thing to do is just pick a topic, pick an area of interest, and then start working to change that. Because that's really what our goal here is. 12160 is a great website, you know, and what you said there too is also important, that when you get around like-minded people, you know, it's good, because that's like a support group, and, you know, that kind of keeps you focused and, you know, builds morale, and, you know, we're able to really bring about true change.
And I think you did say it best in this article when you said, I apologize for asking such disturbing questions, but duty calls in the wake of duplicity. And simply waving the flag is not enough. In fact, it's not even close. If we want to call ourselves true American patriots, it's our duty to ask questions, and lots of them. When considering all the brave souls who have given their lives for country and cartel, perhaps asking questions and demanding honest answers will be the true battle cry of our times. And, you know, maybe you want to, if you could expand a little bit on the difference between a cartel and what we're supposed to be having.
Yeah. Well, to me, it is like a cartel. I mean, it's almost like a mafia when you consider the New World Order as a whole. And it's not just a national problem we're talking about here. I mean, this is an international cartel. You know, the corporate people and globalization and stuff like that. I mean, basically what it is, it's a small group of people that are trying to take control of all the planet's natural resources and so forth. And now they're even trying to take control of labor as a commodity itself. It's just, this really is a very large conspiracy of what's happening today. And like I said, it's not just affecting the United States. This is an international problem. And I think a cartel is probably a very good description of who these people are. And in fact, if I remember right, I think I was reading something about there was some serious protesting going on today against the G20. And so I'd say we're not the only ones, Harry, that are in opposition to this movement, you know, to dominate our planet and our lives, I might add.
Absolutely. And, you know, you said it best when you wrote, these 21st century power brokers have no remorse and will sacrifice innocent lives for their own selfish gain. And that's exactly what we're seeing here. We're seeing absolute power being corrupted absolutely.
Yeah, and, you know, if you look back at what they even did to my own father out in Bikini, here's a man that served his country, you know, in World War II and Korea. You know, they take him out in the middle of South Pacific and drop atom bombs around him. Then basically throw him away like an old shoe after he gets discharged. Well, those same people may not be running the government today, but people just like them are, and they don't have a conscience anymore now than they did then. But I guess that's what happens when you're born into gentility. You know, when you're born, you never know bread without butter, and I guess you get groomed for having this sort of a mindset of world domination. It really is a horrible thought, but it's not just a thought. I mean, it's actually happening. And so I guess we're not the only ones in the U.S. that have to worry about our government. You know, this is a worldwide effort to try to take back our own sovereign rights, our own freedoms.
Yes, it is. It is an international problem. And the way they keep pushing the wars and stuff, it almost seems like it never ends. Like these neocons that told us we were going to have a 100-year war, and that these never-ending wars, we're seeing that it's true. And it doesn't matter what political rhetoric the front men in Washington say to get elected, they're not going to change course. They're not going to change course until the pressure gets put on them. And, you know, and you wrote about that perfectly well, about not only are we talking about the media not wanting to put a face on the war, but we're talking about exposing our good men and women to depleted uranium and all other kinds of toxins and carcinogens. And, you know, and astronomical genetic birth defects will surely affect children for generations to come. So we're talking about this actions of today affecting people who aren't even born yet, and financially and physically and mentally.
Yeah, that's actually the underlying knife in the heart, and that is, not only is that going to affect us here today, you know, it's going to affect the offspring and the following generations as well. I guess you can say that all the toxins, whether it's depleted uranium, plutonium, and all the other horrible things that we love to invent and expose people to is the gift that just keeps on giving. And so somehow we have to get a grasp on all this and find ways to stop it. You know, we've made some headway. I know with the Alliance of Atomic Veterans, you know, because of all the protesting and all the hard work that a lot of people did, including myself, my father, and just the list is endless, you know, we were able to stop atomic testing. And that goes back to what I was saying, is that sometimes the victories are small, you know, but they can be won and they can improve our lives. But it takes a lot of hard work and you have to dedicate yourself to it. And unfortunately, a lot of people, until it affects them personally, you know, it's hard to get them motivated. And myself, I've seen what was happening to my own family, my own father and friends. And like in atomic testing, I remember when I took a trip with my father, we went to Salt Lake City. And we got to meet a lot of the people up there who were, you know, classically known as downwinders. And what that means, Harry, is that at the Nevada test site, what they would do is wait for the prevailing winds to blow away from Las Vegas, Nevada. But, you know, the fallout has to blow somewhere. And those people were the victims, the people in St. George, Utah, and places like that. You know, and their cancer rates were going up like 400 or 500%, and people were dying. And basically the government was telling them that they didn't receive enough radiation to hurt a flea, which everybody knows is a lie. But through a lot of protesting at NTS and all the other actions that went on, you know, we were able to stop atomic testing. So that was one victory, but there's a mountain of victories that we need to overcome today. And you know, I mean, the American public are good people. We're a hardworking people, honest in nature. But I think a lot of us don't like to get involved until it affects us personally, and I think that's the paradigm that needs to change. It really does. You have to see beyond your own inner circle and just realize that eventually it will affect all of us. So I think the main theme today should be involvement. You know, instead of being overwhelmed and shaken in a corner, you have to know that you can empower yourself. And if you get others to follow suit, it does become a powerful force. And that's my main message I wanted everybody to know, is that we can change the direction that we're taking, but it takes a lot of involvement and a lot of hard work.
I agree. I agree with you wholeheartedly, and every little victory that we do achieve slows down the globalist plan. And as more that we can slow them down, the more people can start to awakening, because like you said, people don't really want to get involved until it affects them personally. And with the globalists attacking our financial system, people are really starting to feel the pain in their pocketbooks, and they're starting to become aware of some of the delusions or the waking up to the matrix that you were talking about that we're all living in. And I want to get into some solutions, because I found some pretty good stuff that you have written there outlining solutions. But first, I do want to bring up this this article that you wrote in 2004, The Truth About Depleted Uranium Weaponry. And you stated the fact that only approximately 14% of Americans at best understand the full matrix surrounding depleted uranium. And if you could just expound upon depleted uranium a little bit, because I know most people have heard about it, but I don't think people, including myself, know the full spectrum of exactly what that is they're doing.
Okay. Well, basically, first of all, I want to say that for anybody that might be listening, if you want to learn more, is to take depleted uranium, go to a website like Wikipedia, and put that in there and dial it in, and you'll get a whole lot of information about it. But basically what it is they concocted that by incorporating depleted uranium into munitions using U-235, that what it does, it makes the metal more dense and armor piercing. And but what's happening, Harry, is that in battlefields, when we use this stuff, it fragments and it atomizes into a dust. And where the real hazard comes in for exposure is when you ingest this dust, it becomes lodged in your body. Basically, you're being radiated, and a whole lot of cancers, a lot of different health problems arise from this. And after enough of it is exploded, and like sort of like, you know, what we did over in Iraq, it actually can affect the food chain itself, becomes a toxic wasteland. And I mean, that's the horribleness of this. You know, is it's not just the war itself. I mean, after the drones leave, you know, after our troops pull out someday, I mean, this stuff doesn't stop. You know, it just keeps on going for thousands and thousands of years. You know, there's little kids playing on tanks, and you know, this dust is blowing around in the desert, and they are going to ingest it, and as a consequence, they're going to suffer these effects, these health problems. And that's why I wrote about it, because really it is the next generation of atomic veterans, the GIs who are over there serving, they're being exposed to this stuff all the time, and the civilians are going to suffer as well. But if you really want to know more about it, put it in a search engine, and the information is out there for everybody to know what this is. And you're right, we're probably still lucky if 14%. I thought those numbers were giving at the time, and I still believe they are today. The public doesn't have a clue about this stuff. They really don't.
Yeah, I agree. And plus, the military has been caught using military personnel as guinea pigs on some of this stuff. And this toxic stuff, it gets out in the air, and it doesn't just affect the countries that are involved in the actual war situation, but neighboring regions, neighboring civilians, men and women and children that have nothing to do with the war are suffering because of this, and will eventually die, some of them. And, you know, that is a very important issue, because, you know, we're not even taking care of our own people that we hire to protect us.
Exactly.
And they come back, you know, after doing their duty.
And then, you know, what really kills me, too?
Totally disrespectful.
Yeah. You know what really gets me, too, is these colorful names they give this stuff, depleted uranium. You know, like it's depleted. Oh, it's totally safe. And that's just a lie, you know? And actually, I think if I remember right, in the article that you mentioned, I think I even coined what I think DEW should stand for, and that is Death Unlimited, because that's what it is for those that become exposed, whether you're in the military or civilian, because it is. It's just death that keeps on giving for you, for your offspring, and we're not even sure how long this can span, as far as how many generations. As far as radiation exposure goes, probably the Japanese are probably been conducting some of the best case studies for years over there because of the bombs we dropped over there. But, yeah, depleted uranium is nothing to mess with. It really isn't. And it's inhumane. It's uncivilized. In fact, it is against the Articles of War, and except for maybe the United States doesn't consider it to be, or perhaps Israel, and, you know, just a small handful. But it has been addressed at The Hague and other places like that.
And we've seen violations of international law and Geneva Convention over and over again by industrial nations like Israel, the United States, and many others. And it just seems like you get slapped with a fine, maybe, maybe you're disgraced. Maybe some officials might lose their job, but the practice just keeps continuing on and on and on. You know, they put up one fall guy just to put another guy up there. To continue the same kind of stuff. I mean, and this is international war crimes. And this is, has been happening for a very long time. And to so much to the point where there's reports where the U.S. military takes over hospitals and refuse to even treat people that have been injured by the war. I mean, that's a total inhumane thing to do. And we've seen reports over and over again where some of the first things the military does is go and take control over the local hospitals in a region. And then they decide who's going to live, who's going to die. Incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, another important thing to remember too is, you know, we can't really blame our troops or anything like that. I mean, they're just doing what they're told to do, you know. I mean, they really are our national treasure. You know, it's the people at the top, Harry. You know, they are the ones who allow this type of hardware to keep being used. And, you know, I just want people to make sure they understand that as well. You know, I mean, they're just given what they're given to work with over there. And so, I mean, I don't blame our military servicemen for this. You know, I mean, they don't make the rounds that they're throwing into their guns or what's being used in the tanks and so forth. So basically, they're just trying to get back home, get finished with this war. And I believe it's our duty to try to get them back home as soon as possible and safely.
I agree with you. I agree with you. These orders are coming from the top. And it's a compartmentalization where they don't allow, everybody doesn't see the whole picture. They're, like you said, they're just following orders. This is what your duty is, and this is what they do because that's what they're being paid to do. Follow orders and win. And, you know, unfortunately, it is the ones at the top that know fully well what their actions are the ones that need to be exposed. And with that, I wanted to talk about who funding these wars, these bankers that fund both sides of the wars and manipulate conflicts for their own interests, because the military-industrial complex is in the business of war. They're in the business of death, really. And you wrote an excellent article in 2008 called "The Long Road Ahead Will Be Hard Earned" that has a lot of excellent solutions in here, and I'd like to talk a little bit about them, including this paragraph that you wrote. "Sadly, most Americans foolishly believe the Federal Reserve is part of the U.S. government. Nothing is further from the truth. Members of the Federal Reserve are foreign investors cashing in at our expense. Even our voluntary IRS payments, another illegal scam, are directly deposited into the Federal Reserve bank accounts, not in the U.S. Treasury. Why do we allow this? Our Constitution explicitly forbids this existence. Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution clearly states that only Congress shall have the power to create money and regulate the value thereof, not a bunch of international bankers cleverly filling their pockets as we fall into the sinkhole of poverty." And I believe that is right on, that is spot on of exactly what's going on here.
Yeah, Harry, I guess you could say the real nail in our coffin was when they passed the Federal Reserve Act, at least one of the worst I consider. But yeah, they basically hijacked our economy, and they took our nation's wealth and put it into the pockets of foreigners, foreign investors. And now, basically, they can control everything as far as our economy goes. And that's very scary, you know. You know, what I really thought was very interesting, too, is, you know, is John F. Kennedy, in one of his final speeches, you know, before he was assassinated, you know, he even talked about this. And, you know, I find it astonishing that right after he had done that speech, that soon after he was assassinated. And I know there's a lot of conspiracies floating around out there that surrounds his death, but, you know, I think that should be at the top, because that's some of the most powerful elites that he went after when he did that. Aside from also, he wanted to also dissolve the Central Intelligence Agency. So, yeah, this really is a matrix. And as far as the Federal Reserve goes and central bankers and things like that, that's all part of the world domination plan, you know, for the corporatists. And that's where we find ourselves today, you know. And I'm hoping that we can do something about that. I really am. And in fact, I'm a little concerned, because I don't think we've actually seen the bottom yet. I know that in October, that's usually when they start releasing their fiscal reports and stuff. And I think you're going to find out that the economy is doing a lot worse than what the media is telling us. And we could also see inflation greatly rise in the following months preceding that.
Absolutely. And the good news is we do actually have some good congressmen, men and women, that are trying to pursue making the Federal Reserve more transparent, so that we can actually take a look at exactly what they're doing with these trillions of dollars. And one is H.R. 1207, Ron Paul introduced, which has a lot of co-sponsors. It's still going to have to get into the Senate, but I think these kind of things are, like you said, one step forward into where we actually need to be, which would be ending the Federal Reserve, because I agree with Kennedy on that, and I also agree that we need to get rid of the CIA because of the crimes that they're committing in the name of the American people and exposing the Fed for what they are. I mean, exactly. They are international bankers. And you have a list of 10 of the banks that are really the Fed, and it goes right back to the same players again that want world domination, world empire, one world fascist government. I mean, we've got the Rothschild Bank of England, Warburg Bank of Hamburg, Rothschild Bank of Berlin, Lehman Brothers of New York, Lazard Brothers of Paris, Kung Lo Bank of New York, Israel Moses Seed Banks of Italy, Goldman Sachs of New York, Wahlberg Bank of Amsterdam, Chase Manhattan Bank of New York, and we see these guys getting bailed out for the same problems that they've created. And that is really a core problem here.
Yeah, they really protect themselves, don't they, Harry? You know, when you take Wall Street, I tell you, it just really is incredible. Yeah, they don't blink an eye when it comes to bailing themselves out. But I noticed that there's no one bailing us out, you know. As inflation rises, we're not seeing anything as far as relief goes. So that's the part of this that is very criminal in my book.
Absolutely. They keep bailing people out. They're talking about bailing out. They took over the car industry, bailing out more bankers, bailing out the FDIC. And like you said, where does the American people come into this? Even if we believe their figures of $700 billion or something on that big bank out, bailer bank out, if you split that money up among men and women 18 years and above and gave us the bailout, we'd be able to pay off our mortgages, our cars. We'd be able to invest in the economy by buying things, and maybe start creating a manufacturing base again. But it seems like the powers to be really aren't looking for practical solutions here. They're just continuing on with their plan, to destroy the dollar, to usher in their world currency, and they've already got their world government in place. There is a World Bank. There is an International Monetary Fund. China says that they're going to drop the dollar. They're pushing for a new world currency. And I think that that is key to stopping and exposing to preserve our sovereignty and our way of life. And you got a list of solutions here in this article that are very good, because we do have things that we can do. And one of these is demand that Congress and the media support the rights of we the people to uphold the Constitution and abolish the illegal Federal Reserve. What we were just talking about. A lot of these problems that we see is because we've strayed away from our founding principles. We've strayed away from the documents that keep us free, like the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and our Declaration of Independence. People are almost looking at them as ancient documents that have no meaning in the current world. And I fear that eventually them documents are just going to be on display at some museum somewhere as a thing of the past, where people come through and say, yeah, look, it, this is what they used to have as law. You know, how primitive. And I don't want to see that happen. I don't want to see our founding fathers' blood disgraced like that, because they set up a good plan for us to be able to resist this kind of tyranny. And if we don't utilize their documents, you know, this is what we're seeing, the fruit of straying away from the Constitution.
Yeah, and you know, it's also alarming when you have a president that says that the Constitution is a worthless piece of paper, and that's exactly what George W. Bush said it was. But you know, it goes back to what, you know, the core problem is here in the U.S. for us, and that is, you know, we have plenty of people in D.C. who represent the corporate arena. You know, I think I read one time where they have like 13 to 14,000 lobbyists in D.C. But you know, Harry, if you add up both houses of Congress and stuff, you know, you're not talking about that many people, you know. Even if you took most government, I mean, you're talking less than 1,000 people, correct? Or right at 1,000? Compared to 14, 13,000 lobbyists in D.C. And that's what the problem is, you know. They walk in to, you know, all these different politicians, and they offer them a wheelbarrow full of money, and they fill up their political coffers, and they do what they want them to do. They're bidding. That's how it works. That's why we're where we are today. That's why when we go and we elect somebody, nothing changes, because they still beckon to the same power structure. You know, it's whoever has the money makes the rules. And, you know, we have to change that. We need people, lobbyists in there for the majority of people, not just to enrich, you know, the 2 or 3% wealthiest in this country. And, you know, I think that's what a lot of people expected Obama to change, but unfortunately, those were just political talking points that are not going to be realized.
Yeah, absolutely. And if he keeps continuing to do the globalist bidding, the more and more people are going to see him for what he is. And they're going to see that where the left-right fraud paradigm comes in, to where you've got two entities of the government arguing political rhetoric, but at the end of the day, they're still getting their paycheck from the same special interest, and the same agenda keeps getting pushed through. We keep hearing about change. I've been hearing it my whole life. Every politician that comes up on the stage says, I'm going to create change. But yet we keep going down further down this cesspool. And, yeah. You know, it's just ridiculous. And you're absolutely right. Until we can change the values of the power structure and the people that we do get in there, you know, we're not going to make any ground against these special interests and these globalists. And I like how you wrote here in this article about the letters to the editor in your local newspaper. It says, write to your local newspaper, ask them to keep freedom of the press alive, support the Constitution, and abolish the Fed. Freedom of the press should not be limited to those who own it. And, you know, and there are little things we can do. Even if they don't publish your letter, just keep sending them in. Keep sending them in.
Yeah, that, and plus, word of mouth is also important, too. You know, I mean, we need to talk to our friends, talk to strangers, talk to anybody who's willing to listen. You know, because we don't have the media. We don't have a national mouthpiece to get the message out to everybody. So everything we do as individuals is important, you know, and that's how grassroots action starts. You know, it starts at the bottom, and as it gets more attention, it is given a national platform. But if anything, I think one of the most important places to start is taking away the lobbyists' ability to buy off our politicians. We need some real campaign reform in this country. And we also need to make sure that the integrity of our voting system is not compromised, such as I believe it is today. And another good website to check into for those listening would be like Black Box Voting, Bev Harris. She's done a lot in this area as far as exposure and with electronic voting and so forth, and how the system is compromised, the code and stuff. I mean, basically, with a flip of a switch, they can change, you know, remove thousands of votes just in one click. So when you think of it that way, even if we were lucky enough to get somebody who's going to represent the majority of people in this country, what good is it going to do if they don't get elected in? And another thing which I've been very passionate about too is I would love to do away with the two-party system itself, because as far as I'm concerned, that's nothing more than a division. It's to divide people. And to me, that's what the power structure is basing all of their hope on, is that the majority of Americans do not unite under one banner, because we are a powerful force if we do so. So that's what everything's geared to do, is to divide, to spin. Don't organize. That's where we're at today.
Yes, and following Kennedy's cue about getting rid of the Federal Reserve, we can point out, like you've mentioned in your article, to ask your state and county representatives to use their constitutional powers to get rid of the Fed, because it's really an unconstitutional system. Our Constitution says that we should create our own money, and it really should be backed by gold or something else that has some kind of value. And what you were talking, blackboxvoting.org, Bev Harris, excellent place to get to find out information about the voting, because I do believe that we should stay on a paper ballot. Especially when you're getting these big corporations that are inventing these computer systems, and they're not even letting people look at the code. And we've seen time and time again the numbers get jumbled, and that there's these hidden computer programs adding tallies to the vote count to whoever they want to get in. And that's not the way our country should work.
No. In fact, our voting system is supposed to be the foundation of our democracy. You know, and if that's the case, then, you know, I'd say that we have some real deep-rooted problems, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. People need to keep an eye on these votings, because I think they've just been coups. I think we've been taken over in a coup. And we've seen too much recklessness when it comes to these votes. I mean, look at, I forget the year, but look at Florida. We're talking about everything coming down to one state where the governor is the brother of one of the presidential candidates.
Yeah, Jeb Bush.
You know, this ain't right. Something is foul.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true. In fact, that whole family, I'll tell you, if you look at, you know, the whole Bush history, you know, their family, what do you call that? You know, all the way back to Prescott Bush. You know, you got Marvin Bush and Jeb and all them. I mean, it really is a scandalous family. It really is. They're all scoundrels in my book. And, in fact, if I remember right, I also read that wasn't Marvin Bush on the board of directors of the security company that was handling security, like for Dulles Airport and for the World Trade Center at the time of 9/11? That's something to think about, too.
Yes, and it actually speaks to opportunity and motive. And when you look at what these people stand for and what they want to accomplish, you realize that they're not beyond killing their own people for their own gain. And that's something that really does need to be looked into is 9/11. It was an inside job.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, anybody that's taken time to examine all the controversial evidence that's still coming out even today, it definitely warrants a new investigation, for sure. You know, especially when you consider thermite that was found in the World Trade Center dust. When you look at how Building 7 came down, and just so many other things. Even the Pentagon, you know, the flight path of the plane coming in, which doesn't coincide with the official story, nor does the blast area of where supposedly the plane went in. I mean, there's just a million things to talk about 9/11 that can make your head spin as far as conspiracy. And rightfully so, because I think 6 out of the 10 people that were on the 9/11 panel investigation are now saying that basically it's not worth the paper it was written on. You know, that all of the evidence that could have really taken us in a direction to show us what happened that day, most of that was omitted. It wasn't even allowed to be put into the report. And if you consider that that was a pretext for taking us to Afghanistan, I mean, people better start putting their heads together and asking some questions. And more important than that, they better start demanding some answers.
Especially when you have players like Dick Cheney, members of the Project for Our New American Century, that said that we needed a Pearl Harbor-style attack to cause catastrophic change for their empire. And then you look at the fact that he was involved in Halliburton that wanted to build a pipeline through the Caspian Sea, through Afghanistan, and was blocked in the private sector. And then when he becomes vice president, 9/11, which is the springboard into the war on terror, the first thing we do is go into Afghanistan and build these pipelines. You know, a lot of 9/11 needs to be exposed for what it is.
Plus, let's not forget about all the poppy that's being harvested over there, too. I mean, isn't it amazing that since we have all this military presence over there, you know, I think poppy production has more than doubled. Now, that in itself should say something right there, you know. So, yeah, it's about making money off contracts for the military troop support. It's about running the drug trade. It's about just so many things.
Yes, yes. And you point out one of the solutions that we do have is just keep vigilance on this. Keep speaking out. Call into the TV and radio talk shows. Talk about issues. Support businesses that support freedom. And ask candidates to introduce legislation. Get rid of these bankers.
You know, it was also a way to erode our rights, you know, when you consider the Patriot Act and even how that was ramrodded through, you know, which coincided right about the time that the anthrax letters were sent out and stuff like that, just to make sure that anybody who may have offered a little resistance in its passage, well, I noticed soon after that they started toting the line. So yeah, I mean, we have some deep-rooted problems going on, and people need to realize that this is going to continue. I mean, we already know what has happened, but, you know, we don't know what may occur later. And that's the part that's really scary, you know. That's why it's even more important today that we keep telling everybody, you know, what we know and the sharing of information, because I think that if we shed enough light on what's happening, you know, we may prevent something else from happening later on as well, you know. And we're talking more than just our lives here. We're talking about our kids' future and their kids. So, I mean, this goes beyond ourselves, you know. We have to start thinking of other generations. Each little sliver of freedom that we lose, you know, the next generation won't even know what we've lost because they won't have it. And that's how whole societies are moved, you know, into a dictatorship. You know, because each generation, they don't know what the previous generation had if they never knew it. So, you know, we really have to work hard today and prevent that from happening.
Absolutely. I totally agree. Parents need to educate their kids and not depend on just the government school or the private school or the university. You know, values, I believe, are taught at home. And that's really what we're lacking a lot of. The direction that we've been going is setting the kid in front of the TV and relying on the government to educate and give morals, which right. They're not going to do.
Right, and that's very important, too, like you said, because kids are being groomed today. Academia is just... It's the beginning for them to accept society's rules. And, you know, we have to tell them, you know, us, the parents, to tell our children that, you know, unless we stand up for our rights, you know, we're going to lose them. And, you know, we have to also let them know that what they learn in school, especially in terms of history, you know, the history is only as good as those writing it. And, you know, I've come to realize that, you know, history is not accurate at all. In fact, I like to tell people, if you want to learn U.S. history, go visit another country and read about it there, because, you know, the fairy tale that our children are being told is dipped in a pen that's dipped in our own blood. It's a fairy tale, Harry. It really is. So, yeah, it's our obligation as good parents to tell our children the real story of our own U.S. history, and also teach them young in ways to become involved and to, you know, to try to mold our society into a better place, and because they are the future, you know. Like my own kids, but especially with my daughter Regina, I homeschooled her, and I'm really glad that I did so, because she's turned out really well, you know. And she's pursuing her second degree in college, and she wants to get into broadcasting. And anyway, she's doing some excellent work, so I'm really proud of her.
And rightly so. I've talked to her, and she's a very wonderful person. You did a great job. And, I, you know, right here... You put these figures out where, and you were talking about how we really are a nation of sheeple. Most people just follow the herd. And right now they're following the mainstream herd, but the alternative voices are starting to become loud. They're starting to break through. And when we can get them voices escalated and more people, more different voices, the herd will start to shift. And like you pointed out in this article, if 5,000 people distribute 2 or 3 brochures daily, we can inform 500,000 Americans a month. Roughly 10% of this number should make copies and inform others. Our goal should be to inform 70 million adult Americans. Public opinion will soon be on our side, and once 10% of the population know, the other 90% will follow. And that's exactly what happened in our American Revolution, was most of the people were supporting England still, but when they saw the colonies, people in the colonies start to rise up and take a stand, then they shifted their support toward freedom. And that's really what we're looking at here, is we're in the minority now, but we're not going to stay there. And with the internet and the first government-sponsored terrorism on 9/11 that happened since its inception, the globalists really have bitten off a little more than they can chew. And they are on the run, I believe. As powerful as they are, the internet was a big mistake for them.
Yeah, there's no doubt. There's really no doubt about it that the internet, it really is our life preserver as far as information. I would say that the status quo, and there is a concerted effort right now to try to stop that. They want to prevent people from accessing information on the internet, and that's a real concern that everybody better try to prevent from happening. But it's really scary. It really is when you consider everything that's happening today. But what you have to do is you have to harness that fear, and you have to take, and just like we did in the first American Revolution, you have to harness that into a force, to protect ourselves, our own sovereignty, to protect our constitution, our freedom, and the best way to do that is grassroots action, like the petition that I mentioned. Yeah, start one, by all means, circulate it wide and far. If you have any ability to write, do as I like to do, write articles. And actually, I'm hitting new ground today, Harry, because this is my first interview ever. I've never done a radio show or anything. So, I hope this turns out okay, because I have to admit I've been a little nervous today. It's a lot easier for me to write and put my thoughts down and refine it in that way. So this is new ground for me myself. And I'm sure as I do more of it, I'll probably get better too. But, we all have to take the step, and I'm living proof of that. I'm taking a step today. I was nervous as hell when I came on this show. I still am, really.
But the bottom line is, you are here. You are networking. We all are. And we've met over at 12160.org. And hopefully, we will be able to get together again and have more discussions and cover more topics. And I do want to get to the final solution that you wrote about, and I think it is one of the most important and overlooked, as you wrote, and finally, if you would pray and ask God to return us to one nation under God. And I ask anybody out there who believes in prayer and the power of prayer, start praying for our nation now. Start praying for our civilization and humanity as a whole. And if you don't pray, now might be a good time to start.
Yeah, absolutely. Whatever gives you strength, draw into that, tap into that power. If it's your faith, your religion, whatever that may be, best way to really get active is to look at yourself and find out each one of us our own unique gifts that we may have and use it, whether it's writing, speaking, whatever that may be, organizing. Just tap into whatever resource you're good at, and if you don't think you're good at anything, well, you're not going to know until you try. And that's what the message, the whole theme for me to coming on here today is involvement. Everybody must take an interest, because it all starts there, Harry. Unless you have an interest in something, there's no discussion. There's no cause and effect if you're not worried about nothing or alarmed about anything. So my main message to everyone who's listening out there today is to harness that fear. You know, take it and use it in a positive way. That way we can really bring about true change that will help all of us, not even within our, just within our own borders, but, you know, globally. And 12160 is a wonderful site. I really enjoy being there, and we have a lot of diversity there, and that's good, you know, to stimulate discussion, and it's just a wonderful website, and James is doing a great job over there running it. So that's why I'm a member there, a proud member, and I will continue to, you know, to be there. And the work you're doing, Harry, is great, you know. And I really respect your podcasts and all the stuff that you're doing too. And I will come back on too anytime.
I agree. Your work and James's work is superb. And all of us coming together is really going to make a difference. And like many have said, if you want to clean up the world, you want to change the world, you got to start in your own front yard. And that's exactly what we're talking about, is the grassroots, the local level is where it's at. That's where the real change is going to be come from. And, you know, it is wonderful. Everybody that gets into this movement are some of the best people in the world. And, you know, it might be a dismal subject, the New World Order, but, you know, we can take some action and we can meet some wonderful people along the way. And the blessings in that are just, they're priceless.
Right. Well, we're talking about our future here, Harry. So, like I said, the best thing to do is to tap into whatever strength you may find and pass the word. You know, what's going on. Target an area of interest. Be passionate in it. And know that the victories that we win will be small. You know, don't be overwhelmed. Don't try to take it all in at once. You know, and that is the best way to be successful in this, whether it's election reform or trying to dissolve the Federal Reserve, just whatever area interests you, us as individuals, find that niche and then work at it. Keep pounding at it until finally we bring about change, because that's how change occurs, you know? We're not going to beat up this new world order beast in one swing. I mean, it's going to take, we're going to have to pound at it. And this is going to be a hard battle to fight, but it's got to be fought, you know? I mean, our lives are at stake. Our kids' lives are at stake, and that's where we're at.
I totally agree. We can't wait for others to step up to the plate. I do want to thank you for coming on the show today. And is there any website or anything that you want to bring attention to? Now is a good time.
Well, just 12160, I'd like to bring that up again. And also, anything that we brought up during this discussion, you know, I advise everyone to go to any search engines and put in, like, depleted uranium and so forth, things like that. If you want to learn more, the information is out there. You know, all you have to do is just have the interest to follow up on it and learn more. As you learn more, you're going to find out that it's very disturbing. But get past that and know that we just have to change the way we're doing things. And so really, I don't want to promote a bunch of websites and do that. There's plenty of them out there. And me and myself, I like going to 12160, and there's a few more, but I'm not going to mention them today. But I'll tell you what, next time I come on, Harry, I want to target just specific things, because today was more of a general statement for me, just for people to get involved and stuff. But next time, maybe we can, you know, kind of tighten this up into certain targets and talk about that. Okay?
Yeah, that sounds very good. And I do want to tell the listeners that all the articles and stories that we were talking about today are up in the news section at harrythomas.info. And, you know, I want to thank you again for coming on, because together we will make a difference.
Absolutely, Harry. Thanks again for having me, too. And it won't be the first one. We will be talking again soon, okay?
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it.